As we've studied the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has not held back his punches. He is going straight for the jugular on some very, very controversial topics. It's not enough just to follow the letter of the law. You have to follow the heart of the law. Today, we're going to be taking a look at issue of controversy for a lot of people and what exactly Jesus is saying about it. Here we go. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. If there is an objective moral standard of right, then it has to be something we can know, or it does us no good. And Jesus, while preaching the Sermon on the Mount, claims that his teachings, his way, is that ultimate morality. I want something so solid and so pure and so powerful that no matter what buffets against it, it stands, and it stands strong. Together, let's work on building a solid house. Last time we discussed the problem with lust and how it can get in the way of us having a right relationship with God. We discussed the importance of recognizing that what makes lust bad is that it is a desire for something that you're not supposed to have. And while Jesus is speaking directly to sexual temptation, it can really apply to anything you desire that is not good, anything that you wish for more than God himself creates a problem. Today, Jesus is staying on that idea of relationship, specifically relationship within marriage, and he approaches the topic of divorce. As he continues, Jesus says, "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." I don't want to be naive and pretend like divorce is something that doesn't affect a large number of us in one way or another. Either we are divorcees ourselves, or we are children from parents who divorced, or we have friends who are going through divorces. Divorce in some way has touched almost everyone out there in some form or fashion. So as I dive into this topic, I want to make very, very clear who I believe that Jesus is speaking to and what he is not speaking to. A lot of people, in an effort to pursue holiness, which is a good thing, by the way, in an effort to pursue holiness, they have made comments about divorce and conclusions about divorce that are not biblical. And what I want to do with this talk today is try to get some of that out so that our conversation about divorce can be a pure conversation that's not muddled by what other people may have said. What I am trying to do is build a foundation that we can build on when it comes to divorce. I don't want to paint with a broad brush and say, okay, every divorcee out there, every person who's ever been through a divorce is this. Rather, I want to build a foundation on what marriage is and what Scripture defines divorce is, so that when we speak to divorce, we know exactly what we're talking about. The first thing I want to point out is that divorce is not a scarlet letter stamp. Okay, it is true. Scripture does say that divorce is the equivalent of committing adultery. We'll talk about why here in just a little bit. But it is not a permanent state. Being involved in a divorce, whether you're the cause of it or just the recipient of it, does not make you a permanent adulterer or adulteress any more than feeling anger makes you a permanent murderer or feeling lust makes you a permanent adulterer or adulteress. It is not meant to be a scarlet letter that forever marks you as, oh, you're the adulterer because you're divorced, or you're the adulteress because you're divorced, or you're the adulterer or adulteress because you married a divorced person. This is not meant to be, this is not meant to be a permanent label that you carry with the rest of your life. God is gracious. God redeems. God can take our past and use it to bring healing to others. Secondly, this is not an excuse or a reason for people in domestic abuse situations to be manipulated or coerced into staying in those situations. It is true, divorce is something that is serious and something that we should not take lightly. But it is not something that should be avoided to the point that we put ourselves in danger. If you are in a situation where your spouse is committing domestic abuse on you and you are not physically safe where you are, leave. Get help, get out of that situation, and leave. There is a difference between divorcing a person and leaving a person because to stay would be detrimental to your health, or staying could be potentially life-threatening. As I speak to divorce, I am not speaking to people who are in domestic abuse situations. If you are being abused in any way, you need to leave that situation and then prayerfully consider what God would have you do moving forward. So as we discuss divorce, I want to make it very clear that the audience that Jesus is speaking to are people who are married and are potentially considering divorce for reasons other than what God has laid down. This is not speaking to victims of domestic abuse. This is not speaking to people who have already been divorced. Because remember, we're trying to find a righteousness greater than the Pharisees. Sins that have already been committed, situations that we have already been in, we believe that God's grace is sufficient to wash those situations away. So who we are speaking to directly are people who are married and may potentially be considering divorce. Jesus' words are for those people specifically because they are the ones that these words affect. The first thing that Jesus does is, like the other situations he brought up, he quotes scripture. The scripture he quotes is from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. And basically what he is quoting is guidelines for what to do if a man chooses to divorce his wife and the woman remarries, and then for whatever reason is single again, whether it because she's a widow or her second husband divorces her. That verse of scripture is basically saying once a man and a woman divorce, they cannot and should not be remarried. The point of the law was to say if you believe things to be so dire, if you believe that the breaking of marital bonds is so great that you feel the need to dissolve that bond, if you feel the need to break the commitment you have made to be married to this person, that is not something you should go back and change your mind about later. So the verse that Jesus is quoting specifically refers to the importance of marriage, in that if you really think things are so bad that you've got to break that marriage covenant, don't go back and try to fix it later. Once you are divorced, that's it. The divorce is final. As far as anyone is concerned, the two of you cannot be married again. The two of you cannot relate to each other in a husband-wife relationship ever again because you thought it was important enough to break that marriage. Now, as is usually the case, people took that slightly out of context. They took the point of that verse to mean, hey, if you're going to divorce your wife, make sure you issue her a certificate of divorce. If you're going to divorce someone, make sure you do it right and have the proper paperwork. And Jesus says, oh, no. Divorce is not something that's simply a matter of paperwork. Divorce is something so great, so serious, so important that you need to recognize that if you engage in divorce, if you decide to break the marital covenant that you have made. It is akin to committing adultery. Now, why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus equate divorce with adultery? Well, let's talk about what adultery is. Adultery is what happens when sexual relations happen between a man and a woman who are not married to each other. And at least one of those partners is married to another person. So either the man is married to a woman yet has sexual relations with another woman, or the woman is married to another man and has sexual relations with another man. Either way, something that was meant to be kept holy and pure and in the context of marriage happens outside of marriage. So the marriage covenant is broken. The man who commits adultery goes outside of his wedding bed, outside of his marriage bed, to have sexual relations with the woman who is not his wife. Same thing with the woman. So the reason Jesus equates divorce with adultery is because in both cases, a breaking of the marital covenant has occurred. Jesus has just gotten done explaining the importance of not giving into lust, of not giving into adultery, and how it goes against God's plan. So he's taking it a step further and saying, hey, on the subject of adultery, if you're thinking about divorcing your spouse, recognize that the decision to do that is akin to committing adultery. If you break the marital covenant, you are breaking a marital covenant. The same seriousness with which you would look at a person who has sex with someone outside of their marriage, that is how you should look at divorce. Remember, the way God designed marriage is that two become one flesh. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So that means that divorce, in a very spiritual sense, is supposed to be like an amputation. To cut off your husband or to cut off your wife should feel like cutting off an appendage. That is the severity with which you should approach the idea of divorce. Things are so serious that I believe it is worth cutting off my arm. I believe it is worth losing a leg. And the sad thing is, most of the divorces that happen nowadays are not for things so serious. Things like, I just don't know if I love him anymore. He doesn't make me feel the way I used to feel. Or, I cannot stand the sound of her voice. She nags at me all the time. She doesn't appreciate what I do. I go to work every day to try to provide for her, and the very second I get home, she's nagging on me about what I didn't do the night before. She doesn't appreciate me. Or, we just fight all the time. I feel like we're fighting all the time, and I'm just tired of fighting. It's not that I don't love her anymore. I'm just tired of fighting. Or, I'm bored. He just sits on the couch all night. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't engage with me. He doesn't want to do anything. I want to go out. I want to go to a restaurant. I want to go to a party. And then he just wants to sit there like a bump on the log. And I'm just bored. Or worse yet, but this new guy that I've met is my soulmate. He gets me in a way that my husband doesn't. Or she just makes me feel alive. I don't know what it is, but I can't help the way I feel around her. So because I feel this way, it must be love. So I can't be with her if I'm married to my wife. So I need to leave her, my wife, so I can be with her. None of these reasons represent a situation where things are so bad, I need to cut off my arm. Things are so dire, I need to lose a piece of myself. Things are so serious that if I continue in this covenant, if I continue in this commitment that I've made, one of us or both of us will severely be negatively affected. That's not how divorce works these days, but that's how it should. Now, the reality is sometimes when divorce happens, it's not the idea of both parties. Sometimes when two people split up, it's because one person leaves and the other person's fighting to stay there. In that situation, if your spouse divorces you and you're doing everything you can to keep him or her around, and he or she leaves anyway, there's nothing you can do about that. And I know it hurts, and I know it's painful, and I know you hate to see it happen, but you can free yourself from guilt. Jesus's issue with divorce was people who did not take their marriage vows seriously. And if you take your marriage vows seriously and your spouse still ups and leaves, you are free. You are free from sin. Scripture teaches that if the unbeliever leaves, that doesn't count against the believer who's tried to stay. If you tried to reconcile with your spouse and they still decided to take off, I don't envy you. I can only imagine the kind of pain you feel. But Jesus isn't speaking to you here. If you're someone who did divorce, and now you find yourself in a new marriage, or you find yourself single, and you realize, I messed up. I left for all the wrong reasons. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace abounds. Just because you committed an act that was akin to adultery in your past, God has separated your sins east from the west. You don't have to be drugged down by that past anymore. God has made you a new creation. If you follow him, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've been made a new creation. You don't have to be weighed down by that past. It's true that sometimes consequences may come up, but you don't need to feel like you're walking around with a scarlet letter engraved on your chest because you, at one time, you were the one who divorced someone. As I said before, if you're in a dangerous situation and your life is in danger, or your livelihood because someone is threatening to spread lies about you, not divorcing doesn't mean not leaving. If you are in a dangerous situation, you need to get out of that situation, and then you can prayerfully seek the Lord about what you need to do beyond that. But nowhere in Scripture does it say, yeah, I should totally just sit here and let my husband beat me to death. Or I should totally just sit here and allow my wife to spread all kinds of lies to me, suggesting that I am hurting her in a way that I'm not actually hurting her. Whatever your situation, don't stay in it. But if you are one of those people who look at your spouse and you're considering divorce, ask yourself this: is it worth cutting off an arm? Is there offense at me so great? Is there being in my life so toxic that I am willing to have sin marked on my heart? I am willing to break marriage covenant vows that are holy before God to separate myself from this person. As you ponder that question, let me suggest to you that if your decision is based on emotional bliss, that's not reason enough. If you're one of those, oh, he or she just doesn't make me happy anymore, your happiness has nothing to do with your marriage commitment. Your emotions will change from day to day. If you're not happy today, give it a month. You may find yourself surprised. Boredom is not reason enough to cancel your marriage vows. If you want something exciting in your life, take your spouse that you have committed yourself to and y'all go do something exciting together. If you feel there is a lack of connection, the answer is not to divorce. The answer is not to separate. The answer is to say, hey, let's go talk to someone. Let's go speak to a counselor and find out why we're not connecting. Because Jesus made it clear. If you take the time to make that commitment, if you take the time to vow before God, it's you and me forever. If you choose to leave your mother and father and cleave to this woman that you call your wife, that is a commitment that must be honored for a lifetime and only broken in the most dire of circumstances. Too many times, our decisions are based on the emotions of the moment. That is not a righteousness greater than the Pharisees. That is being led astray by desire, by wanting something that you think you cannot obtain if you honor your marriage commitment. That is lust, and it leads to adultery. And I can hear the response. I can hear the response that some people say, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like to live with this person. You don't know what it's like to put up with this person. And the truth is, you're right. I don't. I don't know what it's like to have the spouse that you have. But I do know what Scripture says. Scripture says once you make that commitment, it is for a lifetime. It should only be broken in the most dire of circumstances. Namely, the marriage vows have already been broken. At no point should you make a decision about ending your marital commitments in the heat of a moment or in the darkness of a season. If it's not worth cutting your arm off for, it's not worth divorcing for. Thank you for listening and for continuing this journey with me. If you have questions or comments or prayer requests, as always, email me, solidhousemedia@protonmail.com. Until next time, I love you. I'm praying for you. And I am grateful that we are on this journey together. Bye.